Welcome to the American MedSpa Podcast, Medical Spa Insider. This week, AmSpa President and COO Kathy Christensen is in conversation with Mitra Silva, founder and COO of Seymour Design.
Hi, and welcome to Medical Spa Insider. I'm Kathy Christensen. I'm the president and COO of the American MedSpa Association. And I'm really, really excited today to spend a little time with Mitra Silva. She's the founder and CEO of Seymour Designs. They specialize in an aspect of medical spas that is so, so important, but sometimes isn't given the amount of focus that it needs to have in order to equate to the experience you're looking for in your business. So welcome, Mitra. Tell us a little bit more about yourself and Seymour Designs.
Thank you. Thank you for your beautiful introduction. So I'm Mitra Silva. I am the CEO and founder of Seymour Design. We specialize in medical interior design, and our top specialty is aesthetic and med spa. We have completed over 200 projects all across US with the intention of serving our clients to really understand that their space is a tangible representation of who they are. So I know today we're talking about the art of negotiation.
Yes.
Which is, your practice, it has a big piece in business, and your top two expenses is your payroll and your space. Your space is the only elements you have a control of, because payroll mm-hmm. can go up and down, but your space, if you do it once and you do it right, it can create a really, really exponential growth and success for you. So that's what we do for our clients. We do the very intentional interior design. And that's what we're going to talk about today.
That's wonderful. I think it's something, like I said, it's oftentimes an afterthought. And I think one of the things about really kind of focusing on the aesthetic of your space is that's, like you said, that's the story you're kind of telling to the world when they come into your space, or even when you're marketing your space. What does it look like when it's on, Facebook or Instagram or what have you? I would say from one of the things that it's one of the things that makes a big difference as opposed to just a medical office. And we've all seen, the practices that are very medical, very sterile. And that's fine for some people. But if that's not what you're looking for, I'm looking forward to kind of learning from Mitra. And she's just a wealth of knowledge when it comes to this topic and pretty much everything aesthetic design. But I'm interested to learn when that process starts, when you start kind of going down the path of moving into a space that you're really, that's going to fit not only your profitability goals, but your aesthetic goals, and kind of how to do that. And I think I'd be interested, Mitra, if you could tell us a little bit about, some people start the right way and then some people have to stop what they're doing and start again. So I'm looking forward to kind of learning the best way to do that from you.
Awesome. Sure. Everything starts with your why. Right? Mm-hmm. That's how we design. And when you are getting clear about your why, which first it comes from that dream, who do I want to serve? Why am I doing this? Then when you start thinking to open your practice or expand or, re-signing your lease or sign a new lease or purchase a space, regardless of all of that, when your why is clear, then you know what to look for, because the clarity of what comes from your heart and who you want to serve, it unfolds into all the technical part. Mm-hmm. So that's the way we design. Today, I believe it's important. I want to talk about the technical part of art of lease negotiation that can be also to the purchasing as well, but the lease negotiation is the more focused topic today. I want to walk us through the process that we usually, and is a proven process that we help our clients to get highest level of success when they looking for a space and when they searching for a space to make sure this space, this investment is the right investment that it supports them versus they fit themselves to the space that is available in the market. Mm-hmm. Any market, I'll tell you, because we have clients all across US, any states, meaning I said any market, meaning any states, any cities, they all have limited amount of medical spaces from New York to Beverly Hills to Utah to Texas. Any clients that they contact us and we talk, we're like, I don't know, like there's only four of them, there's only three of them. So I don't know which one though, should I choose the one that has more bright natural light or should I get the one with the balcony or the retail? Like, you know, like all of those questions comes up. But I would say there, I want to cover the top three very important points and questions that everyone who wants to have a world-class and exponential growth for their practice should follow. So we can
talk about it. I can't wait. I'm super excited. You're going to like share the knowledge with us today.
Yes, absolutely. I'm excited. I mean, I can get so geeky about this topic. Like I was a pre-med before I went to design school. So it's truly the passion of mine. So years later, I combined the two. So
no, I love that. I think that's when you know, because that's, I kind of get the same way about certain things. And that's how you know you love what you do. You know, you really can see, you can see how certain things result in success and that gets you excited. So, and that's why you're one of the best in the biz. So tell us more about it. I'm excited.
Thank you. So I want to start at 3 points. I want to start off with the first point, the number one, why it's important to measure for accurate square footage and construction cost analysis before you sign your lease. Again, back to what I said, the normal and ordinary way, medical practitioner or nurses, you know, that they, or, you know, we have all kinds of clients. We have private equity, we have nurses, we have doctors, we have like all kinds of like, and everything that I say, it just applies to all of them. They'll keep going looking for like, okay, what space is available versus questioning the other way around, saying like, what is the right square footage for me based on the services that I want to provide and what is the budget that I have? And the market is so noisy, like what is the right cost of construction? Mm-hmm. What is the right square footage for what space? So I'll cover the first part.
Yeah, because that's a challenge. A lot of people feel like they're backed into a corner with their options for space. So I would love to kind of learn more about that from you and also just kind of, you know, generally before you get into your top three, how do you allow yourself that grace and that time and not like feel like you can't get what you want?
Listening and searching and seeking for education, something like this that we're sharing, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you don't know what you don't know until you really put yourself in searching and wanting to be awakened to the right information. Mm-hmm. I've been doing this for over 20 years now. And I heard so many stories, like the clients that went through the process in an ordinary way. And then they come to us, we open the second location and the third location, the one that it followed this formula that I'm about to share, it just created an exponential growth for them without pushing and pulling so much and like getting like outgrown of your space and, you know, like the error and trial versus. So to answer your question, search, seek for education so you get clarity, because every space, every situation, even within the med spa, even within the aesthetic, we do plastic surgeon, we do, you know, surgery centers, we do med spa, they all have different needs and each person has a different dreams, different services, even similar. Mm-hmm. And And even within even like couple blocks, we had sometimes clients that were like so close to each other. They have different target market because their vision and their dreams are different. Mm-hmm. You attract different people. And why you versus the one down the street? And here's what I want to tell you. There's no competition. You are the star of your own show. And if you're educating yourself and you're so clear and you're so empowered in who you are, you can find the right space. You can grow beautifully. And you can do why you even started this business, because you love that study. You love to heal the self-confidence of your patients. You want to give that to them and you want to make a lot of money.
Yeah. Right? Which absolutely. Awesome.
But if you don't are not clear and you're not educating yourself and you're not seeking, and I would always tell our clients, surround yourself by experts. Mm-hmm. Because you grow so fast without a lot of error and trial, you get to the destination so much faster. Mm-hmm. Versus you want to try and figure out, ask around, like go to the experts, go to the core, and then educate yourself and then see which one fits right with you and fits right with you, and then start from there.
Wonderful. Okay, so lay it on us.
Okay, awesome. So the first thing, as I mentioned, why it's important to measure for accurate square footage and construction cost analysis, meaning what is the right square footage for you and what is the actual cost of construction? Okay, these are very, very important because those two can be a huge trap to not allow you as a business owner, as a you know, med spa or aesthetic practice to grow to your full potential. So like when you look at like what we often hear and we experience with the clients that come to us that they've done in the past, they, you know, compare their space to other medical practitioner or like other people's square footage. That's mm-hmm. wrong. Like you are unique. Mm-hmm. Don't do that. There's a formula, which I'll share with you. And then the construction cost, usually they ask around the contractor, maybe their friends that they've done construction in the medical world, or like, I don't know, the architect, everyone gives like a very, you know, vague answer versus like really seeing the data. Mm-hmm. That's why we're so committed to market research, hiring other consultant who's really experts into cost construction costs and all of this. So to really understand what's the reality, what's the right accurate information. Like one of the things that we usually I hear on calls when our clients contact us the first time, they're like, oh, like the contractor told me I can do it for $150 per square foot. I'm like, that's only 50% of the actual cost. Mm-hmm. Yes, if you're in the suburbs or in your metropolitan or different states has a little bit higher and lower, but we haven't done any projects for at least 2-3 years, less than like $180 or $200 per square foot. Mm-hmm. So if they tell you, so... And the other layers into it, are you renovating or are you building out the space, meaning there's no walls and all of that? So, right, it gets a little bit more technical, but how it should be.
Basically, what you're saying, Mitra, is if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is, right?
It's a trap.
Okay.
Because it just makes my heart, like, you know, I feel for our clients, like they went through this process. I mean, usually the one day they come to us, they usually went through a lot of pains because like, okay, I know it now. I'm not going to do that anymore. Yes. They're like, they said $100, $150, and we went through the process. And mm-hmm. guess what? We had to take more loans. We had to take more of the money that we've saved mm-hmm. because change orders, changes, errors, and the construction cost is not that. Mm-hmm. Right? What if you know it from the beginning, the approximate cost in a realistic, like what's the market? There's a baseline that you have to spend in that, you know, in just building a medical space, right? Mm-hmm. I would say the way it should be, the square footage calculator, you should calculate the square footage with the team that understands it based on your services, based on the needs of your practice. Do you want to stay in one space for 5 years, 7 years, 10 years? There's a growth plan into it. And getting very well prepared for the construction cost. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the resources, if anyone is interested, it's on our website, it's free. Just go ahead. It's like you can, like, it's, it takes 10 minutes. You answer questions, and then at the end, it gets calculated for you, right? Like, what is the right?
SimourDesign.com?
Yeah, SimourDesign.com. Right.
Gotcha.
It's there. Just if you're interested, if you're like wondering, like, what's the right square footage for me? Just mm-hmm. go ahead and do that there. And when our clients come to us, we do that construction cost, construction opinion, because I don't want to say like that's it, because it's approximate, like based on the states, based on the city, so we can give that clarity. So I would say these two are the first step to get into that. It's important. Mm-hmm. Once you're clear on that, you're standing on the very solid ground to build everything else upon that. So when you know the right square footage and you know this is the construction cost for you, then you can tell your realtor, your real estate brokers, like, find me this space that has, you know, this amount of square footage, because mm-hmm. this is what fits for my needs. Okay. So
I love that.
Yeah.
Okay. It takes away the guesswork, right?
Uh-huh. If you do a guesswork, guess what? Your results will be not definite and not clear. So you're mm-hmm. guessing what the result would be.
Right.
So getting to the next, I would say, step is why it's important to evaluate your space for efficiency and profitability.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's part of part of the art of lease negotiation. So we're building upon first getting clear, and then like knowing what is that efficiency and profitability for you. So you can, from that place, ask for it from the building, from mm-hmm. the space that you want to, you know, choose as your main location. Things that can affect the square footage, usually, the shape of the space is very important. If you have a rectangular or square space, your efficiency and the amount of the square footage that you can actually use in the highest level is much more than if you have a very like an angle walls or like a curved walls. Those are like reducing your square footage for profitability and efficiency of the space, because, you know, like it doesn't, you can, if you have a pattern walls, like can the cabinetry to be installed on it? It has to be pushed back. So those are very important when, as far as like going through evaluating the space for efficiency and profitability. The other element is the budget of when the shape of the space is clear, then it's like based on that, how much of square footage is actually usable. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And from that, you can do the actually budget breakdown. The other thing is this space has the ADA and medical regulation can be met. Like we have a client right now that, you know, it's finalizing her lease, and it's just like it's a borderline of finalizing. And she came to us, which I'm super happy for her. We have to open up all the end of the hallway for her, which is extra cost because it doesn't meet the ADA.
Mm-hmm.
First, if you do that practice in the beginning versus you sign your lease, you're locked in. You can't ask for more money because you didn't know like how much this is going to cost you.
That's right. Now, if someone was, and I hope it just seems, unless you actually have a background in this, it seems very complicated. Everything that I know about it is that there are every state, probably every city has different laws, correct? Laws and regulations for their building. So if you were trying to attempt this on your own, where would you find that information?
So the way there is a baseline for ADA, like the baseline mm-hmm. says, okay, you need, for example, a 3 feet hallway. And then there is an extra regulation for if each city, each area. Sometimes you can like check it with your city area. The best way is to really partner up with the local architect. That's what we do to get that information all in place. So you don't have to go back and forth to figure things out. And also if you're starting or expanding, that means you're already busy. So you gotta focus on making money. And so that's usually what our clients is like, focus on what you're good at. Right. And allow the team to help you. But if they want to figure out themselves, yeah, definitely the local cities, they can reach out. Sometimes their websites are really good, sometimes it's not. But either way, they can find out from the local city.
And ADA isn't the only thing, correct? There are like fire codes and...
Yeah, like ADA and medical regulation for the area.
Yes. Okay. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. The other thing is technology, right? Like what kind of technology you want to use in your space? Do you want to do a lot of, you know, do you want to have a photo room? Like not like the electrical related to that. And, you know, and then wrap everything up around patient experience. Right? How the patients is going to perceive and really have that experience of warm and welcoming and safe and trustworthy space that when they walk in, it's like dating. You have 3 to 5 seconds to impress them and feel so connected with you. I always tell all of our clients and I talk on my webinars and everywhere else that your patients won't come to you because you have nice furniture and artwork. They come to you because your space as a holistic makes them feel a very specific way. And if you can give that, and that's why the why, which we talked about in the beginning, when your why is clear, the design of the space, the intentionality, that being intentional space really connects to their heart so fast that they become your raving fan, not just your patients.
That's incredible. It's interesting that you say, just yesterday, I visited a medical spa in Chicago, and it was one of my absolute favorite injectors, and I love her personality, and I love, you know, everything about her. And this is the first time I had seen her space. And it was exactly that. I felt warm. I felt connected to her. I definitely felt like her and her team, like, that was my vibe as much as hers. So I think that can't be underestimated. I think that's a really important thing, especially when, you know, medical aesthetics is a very trust-based industry. And if someone feels uncomfortable or feels like they're, you know, at the dentist, it might evoke feelings that you're not wanting to evoke. So that's great.
Yeah. Like, why you? Like, I always tell our clients, like, why you? Like ask that question, like authentically, there's no ego, like why me? Like if I would wanted to spend like my money, cash-based business coming and making the efforts, why do I, you know, my patients choose me? Like one of the side effects when we do our designs, our clients get so much out of state clients and patients. Oh, it's so amazing. It's so amazing, like because they find them on Instagram, they see the reviews and they see like we do, like we usually do 3D design and virtual reality before even they open. So they see all of that. They want to be part of that because they see the efforts. They see how much they want to be intentional and they are intentional. So they get a lot of stuff, like start getting a lot of like out of state patients because they're willing to go out of their way. Like one of our clients is in Utah and in a very like remote, like not in the metropolitan, like not in the middle. And the patients travel to them. And she's actually opening the second location. We're doing the second location for her. So it's amazing. I'm like, you know, that's the, like, we are such a clever being as a human being. We pick up on all of those elements.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah. So that was the second point. And then now let's talk about why it's important to master and understand your lease negotiation and not just relying on the real estate broker to do that, because they have a package of technical stuff And, you know, some real estate broker has more expertise and a skill set into negotiate the lease. But imagine you go into that process with you having all this information in hand. Mm-hmm. And also knowing what you want. So I want, that's why number one and two, like the first 2 points, like built upon this, because you got to have those information first, get clear, and then go to that step of lease negotiation. Some of the lease negotiation options that we usually, you know, share with our clients, that we actually have a package, it's called Starter Package, that we actually help our clients with this small piece to get into that. It's the first step, getting to the, you know, stepping into their dream and the new reality that they want to create, is it's called Tenant Improvement Allowance, which is, you know, in the abbreviation is TI. That's mm-hmm. just a term. I think it's good for everyone to learn that. So it's just like, what is my TI, which is what is the money that I'm getting? What is that tenant improvement money that I'm getting from the building? Mm-hmm. There's no set formula to it, but I will share with you average that we see with our clients all across US. We've seen $15 per square foot. We've seen $50 per square foot. That's been an average. Some is a little bit more, some a little bit less. But that's the average. So you can have that in mind, that that can be an element. The other elements that they can really ask for is free rent. The standard we've seen 3 months of asking for free rent and up to 6 months. Especially when they go to construction, if the construction takes longer, that would be a big benefit to the med spas or the medical practitioner that they, you know, signing the lease.
So I want to go back to the tenant improvement allowance, just because my mind, it's funny because we're actually kind of negotiating our own space right now. And that is a part of it. And it took me a very long time to understand that. So can you clarify kind of the definition of tenant improvement and allowance, and then basically more is better, correct?
So let me tell you something. So to answer your question, yes, but okay. let's just go a couple of steps back.
Yes.
And everything I shared, like, I'm not a real estate broker. I am in this field helping our clients from the space standpoint. But what I witness and what we witness is there's two parts into it. If you're going to sign a new lease, is different than when you are re-signing your lease. Mm-hmm. And in any of this situation, you do not want to do your lease negotiation yourself. Mm-hmm. You want to have your real estate broker, either say signing as new or you re-signing and renewing, do not get into that because you will lose. And actually some of the landlords, God bless them, they prefer that because you're not an expert. And you don't know it.
Yeah.
So never, never, you know, and it doesn't cost you anything because they have to give commission and do that to the realtor. And it's part of the law. So that's number one. Just want to make that clear because we do get calls that they're like, oh, I actually went to the building and I'm doing the lease negotiation myself. It's like, never. You never can get the fullest potential. So I just want to make that clear because that really empowers you. If you're listening to this, like as someone who's starting the journey or like really getting more educated into that, this is a very important piece. The other thing is, as far as tenant improvement, like there's many ways to do the lease negotiation, but what I like, the way I see it is more successful, it's as a win-win situation, right? Like the building owner is there to make money, right? Mm-hmm. They want to make money, but you're there to have a space that it basically renting it from that or like leasing it from the landlord And if you go to like, let's say, like, just want to take more, like, I want more money, mm-hmm. it wouldn't like sit so well, even though it's the world, it's normal, right? It's ordinary. Like, I always tell when we have that starter package on helping our clients to for the art of lease negotiation, I'm like, what if this is a teamwork? What if you go to them, say, I'm adding so much value to your building.
Mm-hmm.
I'm elevating the community. How about we do this together?
Yeah, I love
that. That's a whole different way of conversation.
Right. Well, and tenant improvement allowance is basically the building giving you a certain amount
yes.
to improve the space the way you need it for your business, correct?
Correct. Thank you for clarifying. Yes. So they give you money because you're signing a lease. And if your leasing term is longer, technically, they can give you more money. Like if it's 5 years versus 7 years versus 10 years, they can give you more money. And the money they give you, basically, they give you so you can build out, you can renovate, you can, you know, do something mm-hmm. that is helps you to become a tenant and is more appealing to them. But there's no formula into it. Right.
There's but no I think formula. You're right. The improvement that you're putting in there, in theory, potentially might make it easier for the next renter to come in if the building sees it as benefit. Or like you said, it's improvement that the community can feel. So yeah, I love approaching it like it's a win-win for sure, as opposed to like, just give me more money.
Yeah. And also not just for the next tenant, it elevates the rest of the building mm-hmm. and the building value. Because the design, I always tell our clients, you will spend the money regardless. How wisely you spend that money is the question.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do that, you actually elevate the value of the building. If it's other units in there or other suites in there, you mm-hmm. elevate the entire thing, right. Not just for the next tenant. Some of our clients, they sign lease for 10 to 20 years. That means they're there.
Yes.
Like, they're going to be there for a long time. So it's just like, no, it's like, I am here. And it's very like, again, like it's very authentic because mm-hmm. we do a presentation and they put that in with their LOI, which is when they submitting their lease intent, that listen, like, this is how we're approaching this and let's do this together. And a lot of times they're like, wow, like this is even they like if there's several people bidding on that lease and they have the lease, they usually pick them because they see their sophisticated tenant
mm-hmm.
and not just keep saying like, I want more money to build out.
Right.
It's a very artistic, mindful negotiation because mm-hmm. at the end, the better you negotiate, the more money you get.
Mm-hmm.
But why? Why you, when you're like having the right reasoning, you know your square footage, you know the team you're working with, you want to create a world-class space regardless of your square footage. We have clients 900 to 1,000 square foot. We have clients 30,000 plus square foot. Mm-hmm. And they're all like in between. They're like, why you? And it's very mm-hmm. simple. So I would say really that's very, very important. The other thing is asking for, extra parking space. If there's a parking, because parking is very important for medical, and with each state and city is different. So if you can ask for more parking space in your area, in your building or in the parking lot for you, that's very appealing. It's more concierge. It's more high end for your clients to mm-hmm. have that more convenient. And, also, the other elements is early occupancy, meaning, instead of like starting paying the lease or the money monthly lease sooner, you actually start from the day that you open your practice, meaning through the construction, through that, so they have the flexibility for you. Doing those, not necessarily like getting money, which is a TI allowance. The other elements would be like free rent. It doesn't cost them money, but it's mm-hmm. actually working with them as a team to get them to the point. Okay. And the other thing is really looking at how you're improving, as we mentioned, like how you're improving their building, how would you enhance the property success and reputation by being there? And really, when you're like, you're very clear about your vision and you share that, it's very empowering to the building, to the landlord. And they usually work so much easier and with much more flow with you, with the real estate broker. And it creates such a higher level of advantage for you.
Well, and then ultimately, you are on good footing when you need help too. I mean, when you're in a space, if you need, the elevator breaks down or something, like if, you know, in that instance, it seems like you catch more flies with honey too. Like it's much nicer to be on good footing and be respectful and understand that. And then when those things do happen, they're more willing to help you too, correct?
Yeah, because you create a relationship. It's not a one directional. And that's why I said it's win-win. Mm-hmm. And create a relationship that they, you know, I love this word of raving fan. They become your raving fan. They were like, oh, this is a great tenant. Like, yeah. How do we even add more value to them? They're like really like on top of their game. They're clear. They know what they want. These are like, if someone owns a building, these are sophisticated business people. Mm-hmm. They know like how to navigate through money. And not necessarily all the time they want to deal with people. They keep saying, I want more money. Like, mm-hmm. talk to me in that level, right? Talk to me in a value proposition. And when you do that, when you position yourself in that level and showing yourself that you're creating a world-class design, everything is intentional, this is who you are, your branding, your messaging, like all those like becomes a very strong candidate, and you can get potentially more money for like tenant improvement, more goodies, I would say, into your lease negotiation, because they really like, they're like, wow, like they become very impressed with how you're approaching and how you're showing up into that process.
Wonderful. I feel like I learned so much today.
Awesome. That was the goal.
Yes. No, it was funny. Before we started recording, Mitra was like, we'll have to, like, there's a lot of information in this one. So I highly recommend you listen to this several times, because this is great, great, very useful information for anybody who's going through this. And I think kind of moral of the story for me is accept what you don't know. And if you need help to get it, it's a very complicated, and I know this, like I personally am going through this with our office space. It's a very complicated, very kind of specific world that you're mm-hmm. working in with real estate and construction and things like that. And there are mistakes that can be made and you wouldn't even know it until you run into an issue. So I'm very grateful for this information, Mitra. And then remind me again, if people want to take the square footage calculation and just kind of find you. And I know you've done a lot of wonderful blogs and webinars for AmSpa too. So I know in our archives, if you're a member, you can learn so much more from Mitra, either through the webinars or the blogs, but Mitra also obviously is doing this day in and day out. So tell us where we can find you.
Absolutely. Our website is www.simour.com. And, you know, like, go explore. We have a lot of blogs. We actually did the blog on your platform on AmSpa regarding the art of lease negotiation. You can reach out. Again, part of that starter package, we have a feasibility guide, which means it's a checklist before you sign your lease, what to look for. For example, one of the elements is like when you go to construction, where is the trash bin is going to be parked? Is the building allowing you to do it or not? Or it creates more friction? So things that happens in the middle, like we created a checklist, you know, like we have all of that. And also the square footage calculator is on our website. More than welcome to do that. As you mentioned, like the more you learn, the more you get educated in the area, especially with the lease negotiation, the more empowered and successful you become.
Absolutely. And I don't think enough can be said about being an advocate for yourself, like in every aspect of business ownership and even medical aesthetics. I think you're absolutely right. Arm yourself with as much education and understanding as you can. So, well, thank you for your time, Maitra. It's been so much fun talking to you, and I look forward to the next time.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for joining us this week with the American Med Spa Podcast, Medical Spa Insider. This week, AmSpa President and COO Kathy Christensen was joined by Maitra Silva, founder and CEO of Seymour Design. If you're new with us, click on the subscribe button, then receive new content when it happens. Leave a rating and a review. See you on our next episode.